You know, it's hard to believe this year has gone so quickly. Do you feel that way? Man, I mean, it's just here we are. It's Thanksgiving 2025. I fought 4 days until Thanksgiving, and then here comes Christmas, and then it's going to be the beginning of a brand new year. It just goes so quickly. And, you know, Thanksgiving actually is my favorite time. I don't know why it is, but it's just my favorite time. And there's something, I think it's because there's something about having food on the table. Okay, I mean, it's, and then there's a lot of food, all the, you know, but it's wonderful. And you know, we do give thanks for God on Thanksgiving, amen? But, you know, to a Christian, to the children of God, Thanksgiving is so much more than just a holiday, amen? That is actually the lifestyle of the believer because we give thanks to God each and every day. You know, the psalmist has said in Psalm 118:24, he says, oh, this is the day the Lord has made, this day right now. And he says, and we will rejoice and be glad, or we will be thankful in it. Are you thankful for today? Amen. And so, you know, we have so much. We're Americans. We live in a great nation. You know that. We have so much to be thankful for, wouldn't you say? Oh, come on. I mean, you know, you're sitting on comfortable chairs. I mean, think about that. The praise band just helped us really worship the Lord. And I mean, all the things that we really have. I mean, think about our homes. I mean, you have some nice homes, you know that? I mean, or our cars, go out there in the parking lot. You know, and we think about all that we have and so forth. I mean, we are such a blessed nation. I've never done this, but I've read about it. People actually camp out the night before a grand opening of an HEB food store. I'm serious. I always am amazed. I mean, I'm like, why don't you just go to the one over in the next city or something? You know, I'm going to be the first one in there. I mean, if you've done that, I love you. I'm not being critical at all, but the problem is we have so much today, and yet sometimes and many times we focus on what we don't have. And that you may find yourself complaining. I've complained in my life, believe it or not, you know? Just think about your garage. Not all of you, but some of you. You have one of those big garages. They're so wide, the door, and you've got the button that pushes and it goes up, but you can't get your Range Rover in there. Your Mercedes is not going to fit because it's so full of junk. You know what I'm saying? But, I mean, we just have so much. And, I mean, or how about, ladies, I'm not being critical, but how about your closet? Think about that. I don't have room to hang all these new clothes, and I can't even find the new clothes I have. I have 5,000 pairs of shoes. I don't. But think about that. Or, you know, how about a refrigerator? I was at someone's home a couple of weeks ago, and they'd opened their refrigerator, and it was so full. And they said, I've got to have a larger refrigerator. And I'm going, look at all that food. I mean, you couldn't eat that in a year, man. You know? I mean, when I was growing up, you know, we had those, well, they were refrigerators. You know, you put ice, a big ice thing. No, I'm just joking. That was at my grandmother's house. But, you know, when my sister took me in when I was 14 years old, you know, I didn't really get a lot of good meals growing up. And, man, she would. I didn't realize when I started eating there because I ate everything. I didn't know that fish sticks and Spam were. I didn't know that wasn't real food. I don't even know what Spam is. You know, but we just think about all that we have. And then we complain today, I've got to clean my 3,500 square foot luxury home that God gave me. Let me say something to you now. You know, if you want to lose thankfulness from your heart, then look at all that you have. Look at all that God has given you and take it for granted and say you need more. And your heart will not be thankful. Amen? Yes. So this morning, I want to talk to you about that gratitude is not an attitude. Say that with me. Gratitude is not an attitude. Did you know that if you study out the Word of God, that there are over 100 commands or imperatives, if you will, commands in the Word of God about giving thanks to the Lord? Over 100. And not only that, if you just study the New Testament, just in Paul's epistles, he uses at least, he mentions giving thanks to God or being having thanks at least 46 times in his epistles. Now that tells us something. It tells us that giving thanks and being thankful is of a major importance to the Christian. Amen? Somebody say amen. Amen. Thank you. All right. And so, you know, some of them might say, well, you know, why does he command over and over? You know, God doesn't need our praise. God doesn't need our thanksgiving. I mean, he's not an egomaniac or anything like that. So why does God command it? Well, not for him. It's for you. It's for your benefit. It's for your spiritual health. Did you know that? Yes. Man, listen, something happens when a believer, when he takes the word of God, the commands of God about thanking God, something happens in your life in the spiritual realm when you do what God says to do. Now, are you in 1 Thessalonians? If you are, look at verse 16 of chapter 5, 1 Thessalonians 5:16. Listen to what Paul the apostle says. He says, rejoice when everything is going great in your life. Is that in your version? Rejoice when you are living the dream. No. Rejoice when? Always. That is a command, loved one. Isn't that amazing? How can I rejoice at all times, regardless of the circumstances that I'm facing in my life? Well, first of all, are God's commandments our enablements? Yes. Would God ever command a Christian, a born-again Christian, to do something? I command you to do it, but not give us the ability and the power to do it. No, he would be guilty, wouldn't he? But God's commandments, they are our enablements. Now listen, we can rejoice always. Do you know why? Because the word rejoice there means joy. And joy is a fruit of the Holy Spirit, Galatians 5:22. So you have the living joy of God living right now in your heart. Amen? All you have to do is let that out. But our major rejoicing, like I said, is not in our circumstances. Our major rejoicing is in the one who loves us, the one who died for us. His name is Jesus Christ. Amen? In Philippians 4:4, Paul says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, Paul says, I will say rejoice. Now listen, when we read the commands of God, Christian, this is not, I'm going to pretend to be happy. We're not talking about being happy. We're talking about thanksgiving. And so this is not pretending. This is a deliberate choice on you, on me, on our part. Listen, not every minute in our life is good, is it? But God is good in every minute of your life. In every minute of your life. God never stops being good, for God is good. That's why I open every service all these years. God is good, because I know he is so good to me. He is so good to you, loved one. So he says, rejoice always, a command. And now he gives us another command. Look at verse 17. He says, pray without ceasing. Now, that doesn't mean that you are in your prayer room and on your knees every minute of the day 24/7. That means that prayer is the lifestyle of the believer. We pray throughout the day, don't we? Pray about different things. I mean, if I see an ambulance going down the street or stopped, I immediately pray for whatever's going on there, whoever's in that ambulance. It's just we just pray. We're a people who pray, and the reason we do that is because prayer is always the work, isn't it? What did Jesus say in Luke 18:1? Men ought always to pray and not faint, not become discouraged, not give up. That persistent prayer. Jesus commands us in Matthew 7:7. He says, you know, ask and it shall be given. Knock and the door will be open to us. Amen? And so that is prayer. But do you know when we pray with a thankful heart. Let me give you the scripture, Colossians 4, verse 2, where it says this, continue earnestly in prayer. That literally means this, devote yourself, be devoted to prayer. Make it a discipline in your life. It says, continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant or watchful And then he says, with thanksgiving. You know, whenever we pray, are God's ears open to the righteous, open to our prayers? Yes. You see, we pray with thankfulness because we, number one, we know he hears. Number two, we know God is faithful. Number three, we know God can't lie. Amen? His promises are all yes in Christ Jesus our Lord. So prayer will always be the work. So we rejoice always. We pray without ceasing. And now the main scripture of our text this morning, another command, verse 18. In almost everything, give thanks. Oh, I'm sorry. No, in everything, give thanks, but not when we feel thankful. That's not what it's saying. Do you always feel thankful? No, I don't always feel thankful, you know, but so many times we're thankful when we get the promotion or this, our prayer is answered or we're healed or whatever comes up. And then, oh, Lord, we thank you. But this right here says, in everything, everything. Boy, it's a big word. Give thanks, for this is the will of God. And what's that next word? Say it. In. Very important word. You need to circle that in your Bible. He says, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. So you say, I can't give thanks. Yes, you can. You can never do it in your own strength, but you can do it in Christ. Does that make sense? Philippians 4:13, what did Paul say? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Amen? You can't do it, but you can through Christ. How about John 15:5? Jesus said, without me, you can do what? Nothing. But boy, with him, can you do anything? Absolutely. So that's why that word in is so important. Now listen carefully. This command, whether you know it or not, 1 Thessalonians was Paul's first epistle. And it was written, this command was written to a young church. I mean, they were on fire for Jesus, man. But they were going through horrible, horrible persecution for their faith in Christ. So he's commanding them, and he's commanding us. And he says this, you are in God's will. You are in the will of the Lord when in everything, in meaning anything, every circumstance, you give thanks. But here's the problem. This is where people mess up. You're not giving thanks for the problem. You understand? You're not giving thanks because you're sick. You're not giving thanks because you're going through hell in your life. It says here that you're giving thanks in the middle of it. Oh, that changes so much, loved one. Listen, obedience to this command, you know what it does? It keeps bitterness from growing in your heart. Would you say that all of us here, the majority of Christians, are in the will of God? They do this verse? No. But boy, do we need to do that. Now, question, how in the world truly can we rejoice at all times, pray without ceasing, and in everything give thanks unto God, for this is his will? How in the world can we do that? You can hold your place, but you can turn to Romans chapter 8, verse 28. I'll turn with you. It's incredible, incredible promise of God. Now watch this. Romans 8, 28. It says, and we know that some things... Oh, I'm sorry. A few things. No, we know. That's wonderful, that word. And we know, the Christian knows, we know that all things, no matter what they are, no matter what you're going through, no matter the hurt that you're experiencing, no matter if it's suffering or this decision or this work, whatever you're going through right now, he says, we know that all these things, all things, God does something. He causes all these things, good things, bad, whatever they might be, to do something, to work together for what? Good. To those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose, meaning God's plan in your life, God's purpose in your life. Now listen, we want to always be a good student of Scripture. See, we're all guilty. Every Christian knows this verse, I'm sure. And we're all guilty of taking this verse completely out of Romans and making it our own, and you should, but we're guilty of isolating it from its proper text. And when you do that, you get in trouble, okay? So when we read this scripture here in verse 28, I want you to see a very important word, and it's the first word. It is the word and. Say that, and. And is a conjunction, okay? It says, and we know. So what is that telling us? It tells us that the verse that I just read, verse 28, is linked with what has already been stated, and what has already been stated is found in verse 18. Look at verse 18. That's where it begins in context. Paul writes, he says, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us," meaning the sons and daughters of God. Man, listen. So do we suffer in life? Yes. Or do we have tribulation in life? Yes, Jesus said we're going to all those things. But listen, you know, our suffering in this life is short. Life is not very long. It's not very long. But boy, eternity, is it long? Oh my gosh, and the glory that's going to be revealed in you and me. So when he says here about us giving thanks, and he uses those words, we know, the Christian knows. I hope you know, because that word means we know with unbelievable, absolute certainty that God is causing all things to work together for good in your life. All things. He loves you. He sent his son to die for you. God is for you. Amen? So all the things. He didn't say, did God say all these things are good? No, but he did say this, we know, and why do we know? Titus 1:2, God cannot lie. We know that what he says is true. Now listen, here's what God's called us to do. God has not called us to try to reconcile this verse. Oh, it's a great verse, but we sit there and go, well, I don't know if I can buy into that or not. God has not called you to reconcile that verse. He hasn't called you to grab that verse and isolate it only. He's called you, the Christian, to believe that verse with all your heart. All your heart. Your father, my father, who saved you, who sent Jesus. Man, listen to me. He looks at you and he says, I love you so much. I know you're going through it. I know that you're hurting in some areas of your life. I know that all these things that are happening. But he says, I want you to know this. I'll take those things no matter what they are, and I'm going to work them out for good in your life. And if you'll hold on to that, you will be thankful in your heart, amen, no matter what you're facing. So whenever it says all things, if they work together for good, again, it's not saying that everything is good that happens in your life. And another thing, if you look at that promise in verse 28, that promise is not to just anyone in the world. It's only to one type of individual. It's only to those, what does it say? All things work together for those who love God. Do you love God? Okay, and who are the called according to his purpose. That's who that promise is to. Now listen to me. The man who penned this verse is Paul the Apostle. You study out his life. Did Paul have an easy life? I mean, was he suffering all the time? Oh, listen, if you study, I mean, the Bible says three times, man, I was beaten by the Jews. That's 40 stripes, you understand, minus one. Paul tells us, said, listen, I've been stoned, I've been left for dead, I've been in hunger, I've been in cold, I've been nakedness, danger in the city, danger in the country. Man, Paul went through it, but Paul also penned 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you, concerning me. He penned that, loved one, but Paul also penned something else. How about this one in Ephesians? Ephesians 5:20. It says, he writes, giving thanks always for all things. God, is that hard? Man, giving thanks for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the psalmist has written, I think it was David, Psalm 34:1, where he said this, I will bless the Lord at all times. My praise shall be for him shall be continually in my mouth. So who penned those words? It was Paul. Paul, was he unjustly treated? Was he beaten? Was he put in stocks? He was it even guilty? You know, he and Silas, remember all that he's gone through. And you know where Paul wrote Ephesians 5:20 from? A rat-infested prison. Can you? If I was in prison, I wouldn't be writing that. I wouldn't be saying, all things. Man, I'm giving thanks to God for all things to God the Father. I mean, how in the world did he do that? Paul learned something about true thanksgiving and what thanksgiving to God and why God gave so many commands to be thankful. He learned those things. No matter the circumstances, he learned that. Now listen, what we're going to do is try to put it all together and learn and make sure we understand something. Now listen carefully. Being thankful is so easy. Is it? No. Where do you... The old man, does he still try to come up and live in your heart? Is the old man thankful? No, he's not thankful about anything. He's the most unthankful person in the world. No, so being thankful is not easy. Okay, so you buy into it. It's not easy. Praise the Lord. No, it is an ongoing, active spiritual struggle to offer thanksgiving. Now listen, that means it's a fight. But it is a good fight. And here's what I've learned, that giving thanks to God is a spiritual discipline. And that spiritual discipline, when you learn it and you do it, it does something. It anchors your hearts, your emotions, your mental being to the perfect will of God. Does that make sense? That's when you anchor yourself to the will of God. Is there any place on earth safer than being in the will of God? No. And that's why it's so important. Listen, God loves you. You're going to have difficult times in your life. I know there are a lot of pastors that preach otherwise. Come to Christ and everything's going to be over. No, come to Christ and all your troubles finally begin. Do you understand? No, but God loves you. And you have to believe the word of God and trust the word of God. What did our Father say in Ephesians 1:3? Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has, that's past tense, who has blessed you with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus our Lord. God says, you're blessed. I can't give you any more blessings because I've given them all to you. But you have to believe it to receive it. Amen? God who loves you so much. Listen, you read the Psalms. I believe it's maybe Psalm 139. I can't remember off the top of my head right now. But it says that his thoughts toward you, right this minute, not corporately, individually, his thoughts toward you are more than the sands of the sea. Is that deep? How about this? God knows the number of the very hairs on your head, if you have any. He knows. He knows exactly where they're at. He knows what you need, the Bible says. Jesus said, your Father in heaven knows what you need before you even ask him. Think about that. He knows you're lying down, you're rising up. He loves you. Listen, he loves us so much. Do you know what John, the Apostle John, wrote? In 1 John 3:1, he says, behold, look. Open your eyes. This is this incredible statement. He says, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon you that you should be called the children of God, the sons and daughters of God. That word, what manner of love, is one word in the Greek. It means a love that is not from planet Earth. It's a love that can only be found in heaven, and it's the love of God. And he says, oh, I've lavished all my love upon you. Well, I tell you, when I think of that, and when God commands his sons and daughters to be thankful, we should never fight that. We should do exactly what our Father says. You know, the Bible tells us that we're in the last days. Paul, in prison, writing to Timothy, in 2 Timothy 4:1 and following, I believe it is, could be 3:1, I can't remember. But it doesn't matter, it's there. And it says, Timothy, no, but know this. In other words, this is certain. In the last days, he says, perilous times will come. The word perilous means fierce, horrible, terrible, terrible times will come. And then he gives 19 characteristics in those verses of what perilous times are, who's causing them. It has nothing to do with earthquakes and none of that kind. It's all about people and their character. It says that people will be lover of themselves, lover of pleasures more than loving lovers of God. And it says, and they will be unthankful. Unthankful. Well, we don't want to ever be unthankful. We don't ever want to be grouped with that people. Amen? We want to be a thankful people. Now, question, with everything that Paul faced in his life, how did he remain thankful? How did he do that? Let Paul tell you in his own words. Let me give you the scripture. Colossians 3:17. Paul writes this. He says, whatever you do, whatever you do. Is that a big word? I mean, whatever you do, no matter what it is, no matter what's happening, no matter what you do, do you work at Burger King? I hope not, but if you do, please make better hamburgers, all right? No, I mean, whatever you do in this life, he says, here comes, whatever you do in word, that means whatever comes out of your mouth, whatever passes, words that pass through your lips, whatever you do in word, our deed, that's your action, the things that you do in life. Here it comes. Do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. That means complete dependence upon him. Here it comes. Giving thanks to God the Father through him. Now listen, word or deed, does that cover about everything in life? Everything we do? Man, he says, I want you to give thanks. Now listen carefully. Thankfulness to God does not depend upon abundance. See, we have that, oh boy, I have this and I have this. I'm so thankful. And that's good. That's nothing wrong with that. But true thankfulness to God doesn't depend upon abundance. But let me tell you what true thankfulness does. True thankfulness opens the door to abundance. And you say, oh, what kind of abundance, Bill? John 10:10. Jesus said, the thief cometh to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that you might have life. What kind of life? Abundant life, more abundant. So this, when we think about thankfulness, it opens up an abundant life to us. Now listen, you must fight to be thankful. It's just the way it is. You're in almost a warfare, loved one. Being thankful is a spiritual battle. Being thankful is a spiritual discipline, okay? For example, is prayer a spiritual discipline? Do you always just can't wait to go in there and pray early in the morning? Let's be honest. No, you have to what? You have to deliberately, it's a deliberate action. You go in there, I know I'm going to pray. I may not feel like praying. I might not even want to pray, but I'm going to be obedient. Does that make sense? I'm going to go in there and pray, and here's what happens. When you start doing that, it becomes easier. That is just like working out. You work out the first week and you go, you know, like New Year's is coming. I'll do it that way. January, you're going, I'm going to get buff. Yeah. Man, I'm going to look. And then maybe you buy that Bowflex. 1 week after you start working out, that Bowflex is like a closet. You just hang your clothes on it. You know what I mean? Why? You're not. It didn't work. You're disciplined. But see, prayer is a spiritual discipline, and so is being thankful, loved one. Now listen to me. Being thankful isn't always a feeling, but being thankful is always, always, always a deliberate choice, no matter the circumstances. And that's what you need to remember. It is a deliberate choice on my part and upon your part. Our Father commands us to be thankful, and he wants us to agree with him. The Bible says in Psalm 92:1, it is good to give thanks to the Lord, or literally it is precious. It's a precious thing to give thanks to the Lord, to sing praises to his name, O Most High, to declare your loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness every night. Now listen, do we have an enemy that hates us? Is his name the devil or Satan? Is Satan a deceiver? Okay, listen very carefully. Here's what he does now. He tempts every Christian. He tempts every Christian to judge God by God's faithfulness in your circumstance. He wants you to judge God because of what you're going through. Do you understand? In other words, why is this happening to me and so forth? That's what the devil, he wants to tempt you to do that. Why? Because the devil wants to steal every thank you have to God. He doesn't want you to give thanks to God ever. Do you understand? Ever. He is our enemy. So with all of that, how in the world did Paul remain thankful? Again, in his own words, and he wrote this from prison. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Listen to what Paul says. Be anxious for nothing. What does that word nothing mean? Nothing, okay? The word anxious means to be divided. It means angina, if you will. It means to be pulled apart. It means to worry. So he says, do not be anxious for nothing. Don't be. He says, but in everything, by prayer, supplication, and here it comes, with thanksgiving. With thanksgiving. You're praying, and you're praying with thanksgiving. Why? That is a deliberate choice that we are to do. We make that because we're not doubting God. We know that he's going to answer our prayers. Let your request be known to God, and listen to the promise, and the peace of God, God's very own peace. Can God's peace be disturbed? No. God's very own peace, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, listen to what it will do. This is a promise from Almighty God. It says he will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Isn't that amazing? He says, I'll guard two places, your heart, your emotional realm, and your mind. Why your mind? Because isn't that where Satan always attacks? God doesn't love you. Look what you're going through. If God loved you, you wouldn't be experiencing this. You wouldn't be sick. You wouldn't lose this loved one. Are you with me? Come on. He attacks the mind, loved one. But he says now, be anxious for nothing. Anxiety is real. If you don't believe me, drive on 820. Anxiety is real, and the Bible addresses it. The Bible is the only one that addresses it, by the way. I was reading Newsweek last week, and they said this. Researchers have now named millennials the most anxious generation in the U.S. alone. Anxiety disorders are the most common mental illness affecting 40 million people, which is 18% of the population. Now, I read the entire article. It just told us about that, but it did not tell you at all how to cope with anxiety. But the Bible just told you. Or you understand? It said, be anxious for nothing. My sister is 94 years old. There's no one harder. She's hard as steel, okay? I mean, she is a fearless woman. And, you know, we talked yesterday. I talked to her a couple times a week, of course. And she said, Billy. I said, don't call me Billy. That's my sister. And she said, Billy, she goes to another church and she does what's called revive. She works in the youth. And 94 and works in the youth. Praise the Lord. Yeah. And she says, I can't do it anymore. I said, well, Joanna, I said, what's wrong? She said, well, I drove home last night and she said, I was scared to death and I couldn't see anything. I couldn't even see to park by my own house, Billy. And she said, I took my blood pressure. My blood pressure was 196 over 100 or something. And she said, I can't take the anxiety. And I said, well, she said, I'm going to stay home now. And I said, well, Joanne, I said, that's the right decision. You've done your job for all these years, you know, and it's okay to be afraid to drive at night. That's probably wisdom. She said, well, I'm going to call them and tell them, but I'm going to say, if you'll come and pick me up, and drive me to church and back, I'll do it. Well, you're making me anxious now. So listen to me. When God says be anxious for nothing, and he talks about guarding our hearts and all these things, did God's word that I just read to you, did it say, oh, I'm going to banish all your problems, all of your circumstances? No, it didn't say that at all. But listen to me. Thankfulness is where God meets us. When you are obedient to that command, God steps right in. Do you understand? That's what's going on. See, he promises, he says, God promised his peace that passes all understanding. He's going to guard your hearts and minds. He's going to set a central sentinel there to do so. What guarded Paul the apostle's heart and mind when he was in prison awaiting execution? It was the peace of God. He wasn't anxious for nothing. He told Timothy, I'm getting ready to be poured out as an offering. Man, it's over with. I fought the good fight. I finished my race. I'm going home. You know what I mean? I've kept the faith. He says, I'm at peace, Timothy. Oh, listen, what about Peter? There's Peter, in Acts chapter, 11 or someplace in there. And he goes, he's arrested. He's in Herod's prison, and he's going to be executed in the morning. And what is Peter doing in prison? He's sleeping. If you were going to be executed the next morning, what would you be doing? You'd be confessing every sin. You'd be confessing my sins, your brother's sins. You know what I'm saying? No, he was sleeping. It took an angel, I bet 30 minutes to wake this guy up. Why? Because the peace of God was guarding his heart and his mind. Does that make sense? How about Daniel? Daniel was in the lion's den, and so the king was all upset about it, and they put the cover down and so forth, and there's Daniel, there's all the lions, and then the king, Daniel's heart and mind, it was guarded. He wasn't worried. What did the king do all night while he was in the lion's den? He was pacing back and forth. He couldn't sleep. And when they finally opened it up, the king said, Oh, Daniel, are you there? And he said, don't worry about it. The angel showed up, closed the mouths of the lions. You know, I had a great night's sleep. How about you? No. God does something. He guards our hearts and his mind. Now listen, thankfulness is a spiritual battle. It is. It's just the way it is. But thankfulness is also a powerful weapon in the battle. You remember the story of King Jehoshaphat, and he was a king of Judah, the southern kingdom. And in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, I believe it is, that he, all of a sudden there he is, the king and all of Judah, and now he is surrounded by all the enemies of Israel, the Ammonites and the Gergesites, I guess, and all the rest of the ites and so forth. And so these scouts come to him and say, oh, listen, we are surrounded. The enemies, they're closing in. And so he says this, it says, Jehoshaphat, he feared and he set himself to seek the Lord. He proclaimed a fast throughout all of Judah that they would seek the Lord. That's a great battle plan, isn't it? He said, get the army ready. No, he seeked first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Amen. He went into prayer. And then he was praying and he said this, oh, our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power concerning this situation against this great multitude, these enemies that are coming against us. We don't know what to do. Listen to what he says. But our eyes are on you. Our eyes are on not the problem. Our eyes are on you. And then it goes on, it says about Jehaziel. The Spirit of the Lord fell upon him, and he gave a prophetic word to the king and to the people of Judah. Listen to what he said. He said, listen, all of you, Judah, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you, king, thus saith the Lord to you, do not be afraid, don't be dismayed because of this great multitude. Listen, for the battle is not yours, but God's. And so he told him over and over that. And then Jehoshaphat, he went and consulted with everyone in Judah and the men, and listen to what he said to do. He says, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to appoint those who should sing to the Lord and who should praise the beauty of his holiness. In other words, give thanksgiving, give adoration, give thanks unto God. And they went out before the army, all these singers and so forth, and they were singing and saying, oh, praise the Lord or give thanks to the Lord. Now, would you think that would be a very strong army? Think about that. There wasn't any weapons. There wasn't any generals. There were people praising God, giving thanks unto the Lord. The only weapon they had against the enemy was giving thanks unto God. And as they worshiped and as they gave thanks to God, what did God do? He came down in the midst of them. He confused all of the enemy. They turned on themselves. Pardon me. And they killed each other. Hallelujah. Listen, how does that make you feel? Well, right now I'm about to strangle. Now listen, being thankful to God, they were not thankful for God for the battle. They were thankful for God, to God in the battle. Does that make sense? I'm not thankful for any battle. But I want to be thankful in the battle. And I know that doesn't make sense in the natural realm. It doesn't even agree. We just can't, you know. But I'm going to tell you, that is a picture. When we give thanks unto God, that is a picture. When we're going through the situation, that is a picture of what happens in the spiritual realm, loved one, when we start giving thanks unto the Lord. Again, 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything. In it, not for it. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. And whenever we obey God's commands, are we in his perfect will? Yes. Man, I mean, you can't get any. Listen, the moment you obey the command, the power comes. Not before you obey it, when you step out and do what God says, then the enabling power comes. Now, listen, whenever we do that, remember, gratitude is not an attitude, okay? That just doesn't work. Gratitude or giving of thanks is a deliberate choice to give thanks to God in whatever we are facing. Now, we don't see it, but it happens. What does our Father do when we give him thanks when we're going through it? You know what it does? Psalm 22. I'm so sorry. I'm having one of those allergy attacks. Praise the Lord, I'm thankful. Psalm 22:3, it says that you are holy and you are enthroned, you remain, you abide, you dwell, you are holy and you are enthroned in the praises of Israel. So what does that mean? It means that here, when we obey the commandments of God and we are going through something and saying, why am I going through it? No, we are obedient and something happens. God enthrones himself and remains in your circumstance because you are obedient to his word. Does that make sense? And that's exactly what we're talking about. And that means that we have his presence, loved one. I mean, Jesus is here right now, isn't he? Okay, well, we have the presence of God. Let me give you a scripture, Psalm 95:2. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Where he's here. That's when we were worshiping the Lord. It says in Psalm 104, enter into his gates with thanksgiving. Enter into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him. Listen, thanksgiving and praise cannot be separated. They go together. And if you are just praising the Lord without thanksgiving, you're not worshiping God the correct way. Does that make sense? Yeah. So Psalm 107:1, give thanks to the Lord. He is good. His mercy endures forever. Now, one more time. You must fight in this life to be thankful and to stay thankful. Being thankful is a spiritual battle. Being thankful is a spiritual discipline, and you learn, you repeat it over and over, and every time you do, you get stronger and stronger and stronger. Again, gratitude is not an attitude. Being thankful isn't always a feeling. No, it's always a deliberate choice on your part. why in the world would God command us in everything give thanks? Well, there has to be a great reason, because God is never wrong, is he? No, he's not wrong at all. Do you know what his commandments do, especially about giving thanks? They protect you. See, if you don't do that, the stress, the emotional strain, the things that, it can just drive you crazy. But God says, no, listen, you need to do something. I want you to give thanks in this situation, not for it, but in it, because that brings me, because you're obeying me. Does that make sense? That is so vital that we do that. And people say, well, those commandments are too heavy. No, 1 John 5:3, this is love for God. And it says, this is love for God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome, meaning they're not heavy. They don't weigh you down. They're not cruel. You know, listen, God did not save me. He did not save you to weigh you down, loved one. He saved you to free you, to set you free. Amen? Yes. So listen, there is a tremendous difference between knowing his commandments, quoting his commandments, and doing them. Big, big difference. Again, the command. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. That's a command. Now listen to me. I can't tell you, well, not anymore say it. Let me just stick to what I believe the Lord gave me. I know in my heart, for the most part, me, all of you, you know, we are thankful for so many of the blessings of God, aren't we? Yes. Come on. Man, I think, you know, I know you're going to think I'm crazy. I mean, I even thank the Lord for St. Augustine grass. And my grass is not a saint. Do you understand? But I do. I mean, I do. I even prayed before I ever had it. I said, Lord, if I ever have a home, can I have St. Augustine grass? Well, I do. And when I walk on it, as God is my witness, I thank him. I thank him. And that, you say, Bill, that's silly. No, listen. I know that we're so thankful for so many things, but I want you to open your heart now. But what about that one thing that you say secretly, that you say maybe privately or maybe even to others, I can't be thankful. Not only that I can't be thankful, I won't be thankful. And you say, Lord, why? It's so unfair. This is unfair. This is not right. And I can never in everything give thanks. Not for it, but in everything. I just can't do it. I have too much pain. I have too much hurt. In this battle, Lord, the battle that you said was yours, this battle has cost me everything. It's cost me my marriage. It's cost me my health. Lord, it's even cost me my faith in your promises. I don't have the strength, and I don't have the desire to obey in everything. Give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning me. I don't even have the faith to obey that. And I don't believe Romans 8:28 anymore. I don't believe that you say, I know that all things work together for good to those who love God and to those that are the called according to his purpose. I don't believe that. I want you to listen to me now. Those that are listening live, I want you to listen to me. I want you to open your heart. And what I say now, I say in love. The devil has stolen your thank you. He has stolen your thank you and your giving thanks to God. Instead of, and I'm not faulting you, I just want you to listen. Instead of making that deliberate choice to obey God and giving thanks, not in it, not for it, but in it. Because you did that, you're losing the battle. And here's what happens when you don't do that in the battle. You give strength to the enemy. You give power to the enemy. And what does he do? Oh, he does what he does so well. Then the torment comes, that mental torment. And he mentally and emotionally, he magnifies your pain and your hurt. God did not and has never said, I want you to thank me for all this stuff. Not when you have stage 4 cancer, he's not saying, thank me for it. He's not saying that. He says, I've got to get you through this. We live in a fallen world, don't we? Okay, and did Adam's sin come through into all of the world? And that's why people become ill, loved one. And listen, God didn't say, I want you to thank me for everything. No, he says, but in everything, in it. Why? Because you have the victory when you do that. Now listen, when you make a deliberate choice to obey 1 Thessalonians 5:18, and when you make a deliberate choice to believe Romans 8:28, what happens? You've just expressed your faith and your trust in God. And you cannot please God without faith. Do you understand? It's an impossibility. Now listen, that doesn't mean when you're in it, it doesn't mean that you're smiling. It doesn't mean that you don't weep. It doesn't mean that you don't fall apart. It doesn't mean that you don't feel like quitting, but you don't. You don't. And here's what happens, loved one. When you are obedient, that deliberate choice of obedience, when you choose to give thanks in, not for, in it, do you know what happens? You just disarmed the power of darkness. You rendered him, he can't do nothing now. Do you understand me? He can't touch your mind. He can't touch your heart. He can't emotionally drain you and stress you out. He can't do it because you have been obedient to God. Thankfulness, giving thanks is a weapon. Do you understand that? And God says, this is why I'm commanding you. It's a powerful weapon, and it's also something else. To do so is a sacrifice on your part. It says in Hebrews 13:15, therefore by him let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise, meaning adoration and thanksgiving. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name, right in the middle of it, right in the middle of all of it. When everything is falling apart, when you don't have a dime in your bank account, when your kids seems like they're just off the deep end, when your marriage is falling apart, whatever it might be, you stand there and you say, oh no, I tell you what, my God commanded me to do something, and he commanded me to be thankful, not for all of it, but in all of it. And when I do, I can stand, and having all done to stand therefore, amen, in the power of God, in the love of God, in the promises of God. And you know what happens? The Bible tells us, Paul, I know this is Paul's favorite scripture. I'm sure it was. He says in 2 Corinthians 2:14, and thanks be to God. Oh, he was a thankful. Thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ Jesus. He's always leading us in victory. But if you're not going to obey his commandments, how can he lead you? Amen? No, listen, he's always leading us. Listen to me now. Has the devil, I'm talking to you. I love you and God loves you. But listen, I know what it means. I know what I'm talking about. I've been there and I live there. Has the devil stolen your giving of thanks in everything? Not for everything, but in everything. Gratitude is not an attitude. It is a deliberate choice to obey and believe. And maybe you're here right now, and you got it in your heart, and you know you're hurting. And you know, you can make a deliberate choice right now. Right now, think about it. to obey 1 Thessalonians 5:18 and believe Romans 8:28. And you can't do it on your own strength, but Jesus is in you. I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me, amen. God, Jesus wants to strengthen you. You have to come out from underneath that one thing that is just destroying you, loved one. Listen, it will torment you forever. But you can silence that torment. You say, you know what? I'm going to move into that area that I can't, I'm just not thankful for. I'm going to move into it. I'm going to make a deliberate choice right now in everything, not for everything, in everything I'm going to give thanks. This is God's will. And I know, I am certain that all things, good things, bad things, hurtful things, all things work together for good to those who love God and to those who are called according to his purpose, with our heads bowed, our eyes closed. This is your opportunity to come out from under it. You know that area. You have refused to live in it and walk in it. You've been hurt, so your marriage is just, you feel like you're suffocated. You're suffocated with hurt. And if you don't move into those commandments, the hurt won't stop. But if you will, God will enthrone himself in your thankfulness. As our heads are bowed, no one looking around. If this is you and you're ready to get free, all you have to do is lift your hand and say, that's me, Bill, and I want it right now. And put your hand right. Yes, 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 yes. Yes, yes. So many yes. Yes. Thank you. God bless you. God bless you. It's a deliberate choice. You just made it. Yes, God bless you. You're making a deliberate choice. God bless you. I see that. God bless you. Yes. You're making that. Yes, yes. That's right. You're making a deliberate choice to move out of the torment. Yes. You're moving right now. No matter how bad it has been. Right now, you're getting ready to walk in freedom. Because you just made a deliberate choice. Father, you see the hands, the sheep of your pasture. You see, oh God, they made a deliberate choice because they know that gratitude is not an attitude, but is a deliberate choice on their part to obey and believe. And Lord, right now, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And I know in Jesus' name, right now, you are honoring their faith. Oh, Lord, move among your people. Touch them. Oh, Lord, you're so good because you are moving. Things are changing right now because, oh, Lord, there's no one like you, for you are good and you are our God. Thank you, Lord. We give you praise now in Jesus' name. And the church says, amen. Amen.